This is Tim Doyle, lead pastor of Restoration Church. Welcome to our weekly podcast featuring encouraging messages from our Sunday morning get-togethers in historic downtown St. Joseph. For more info, visit restorationstj.com.
Very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen." Come on, let's shout the victory of heaven today. He's not in that hole in the ground. He is risen. Love it. Remember how he told you when he was still with you in Galilee, "The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. They came back from the tomb. They told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and Mary, the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Ladies, it's been going on for a long time, okay? Your words seeming like nonsense to your men. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away wondering to himself what had happened. Friends, we don't have to wonder today, do we? We know the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey said. Can we just applaud heaven one more time? Because he is not there. He is risen. Man, let's run to the tomb today and see that he's not there and celebrate the resurrection. We're so glad you came to Restoration today. If it's your first time, I'm Tim, the lead monkey of this circus, and we're so glad to have you here. Why don't you go ahead for now and have a seat if you can. While you do so, kids, if you're going upstairs to kids' church, this is your cue. Exit stage left. And who is there? Matt and Carrie Porter. You are in for a treat today. We're going to hear you, I have a feeling, from way down here, because Matt doesn't let you get away with being quiet upstairs. Again, we're so glad to have you at this pioneering place here in downtown St. Joe. Today is our third year anniversary of Church Plant. This is it. Easter. Wow. You know what happens on the third day, right?
Yes.
Gets good, right? It gets really good. So, welcome. In just a few minutes, the ushers are going to pass by some buckets, and when they do, inside there's a little gray card. I want you to grab that, pull it out, and then bring it to me at the guest reception in the big lobby out there by the donuts, by the way, in the east lobby, and I would love to give you a coffee mug. We always mug our first-time visitors, so love to have you in the whole process, and I'll be out there, love to shake your hand and say hello. A few announcements before we dive in. Remember, our midweek connections spring semester starts this Wednesday. We'll be teaching right here in this room through our four-stage growth track series. That's sort of an introduction phase to people who are new to Restoration, but trust me, it's not just for the newbies. It's good stuff. It really kind of captures the DNA and the core values of Restoration, why we do what we do. And I'd love to have you be there. That's 7 o'clock Wednesdays, and you can just jump in. Love to have you be there. We have been in the middle of a series called Jesus Center Stage. Some of you got those awesome cards that have that artwork featured on it. It's all about creating a larger platform to present Jesus to this city, and our city needs the news that we're celebrating today. It's not just about, you know, chocolate bunnies, although those are really good, but there's bigger news to share, and so we love to have you as a part of it, and this opportunity for us to go through really kind of what is a picture of the work that we're doing here in downtown St. Joe. If you haven't been in on the rest of the series, you can catch up online, restorationstj.com. But we've been telling the story of the upside down tree. It's story time. I should get Darby to help me. Darby's the storyteller. But we could talk about, you know, this analogy, this picture that we've been unpacking for the last two or three weeks. And really, just to kind of catch you up on it, it's the story of this big, giant oak tree. I picture it like that, big huge tree, you know, just robust and kind of got some age to it. And one day, this big oak tree just gets plucked up from the ground like a carrot, pulled out of the earth, shaken violently. All the rocks and dirt and stuff fall off the roots. So you just have this bare root tree that people say, oh my goodness, that tree will never survive this process. But God always has a plan, right? Just like the cross, people thought it was the end, and it was not. It was just the beginning. And this tree was taken and transplanted in a different location, in an unusual place, in an unusual position. And like my artwork that you think is probably hung upside down, in reality, this is the way it is. The tree is planted upside down between two rocky cliffs, okay? An unusual place and an unusual position. And over the last 3 weeks, we've been talking about what those different pictures mean. And today we're going to unpack the story even more. Kind of hard to tie this in with Easter, right? But I'll do it. Watch me. I'm a gymnast. And today, as I was preparing for today's message in particular, it struck me how many times in the scriptures, instead of cross, we're all familiar with the cross, right? I mean, there it is right there. Everybody knows what that looks like. But instead of a cross, the scripture sometimes uses the word tree, which caught my attention because we're talking about an upside down tree. So I thought, So let me just read some verses to you, see if you catch what I caught here. Acts 5:30, the God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you murdered by hanging on a, what's the word?
Tree.
Interesting. Acts 10:39, and we are witnesses of all things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they killed by hanging on a tree. Okay. Acts 13:29, now when they had fulfilled all that was written concerning him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a tomb. Are you catching the pattern here? Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. It is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. One more, 1 Peter 2:24, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Interesting. So which is it, a tree or a cross? We better pray, all right, before we try to talk about that. Jesus, thank you so much today for the reality of your resurrection. And we just ask today, Holy Spirit, I welcome you here. I thank you for your presence here. You were sent because Jesus said we needed the comforter. We needed one who would guide us and reveal Jesus to us. And so we want that today. Would you just pray that with me? And I'd say, Jesus, I want to know you more. Open myself up to you today. Amen. I think he's going to do that. Just thinking about this cross and tree juxtaposition, they're really one and the same. As I was doing my study, I'm not a Greek scholar, right? Okay, so, but I read the intellectual people who are, and they tell me that the word, I was going to read it all, but I thought, what's the point? Get to the donuts, right? The interpretation of these Greek words for cross really speaks more about something that's living, like a tree that would be planted in the earth, actual roots in the earth. They said sometimes they would lop the top of the tree off, and then as a cross would be, you know, with the horizontal beam, that the patibulum, say, patibulum, sounds like a kneecap or something, the patibulum, patella. See, I knew it was close. My nursing students here are filling me in. The patibulum is what the convicted would carry to the hill, and then they would hoist it up on a place already prepared on the tree. Are you catching it? So it's not either or, and we're not going to fight that. Let's just say he was crucified on wood. Can we do that? I mean, that would be, I'm not going to debate whether it was a tree or a cross or whatever. It's like he was crucified on wood. But those two words coming together here on Easter really began to stir my imagination. And I thought, you know, it's interesting that when did sin first enter the human picture? In the garden, because of a tree. because of a tree, right? When Eve took the fruit from the tree. Isn't it interesting that a tree was involved in the introduction of sin to humanity, and a tree was also involved in the remedy for sin for humanity? Pretty interesting. See, I'm just kind of nerdy like that. Stuff like that just kind of geeks me out a little bit. I like that. I want you to consider the shape. I really hadn't thought of this. This was not in the original story that I received, but as I thought about it, you know, with our tree upside down, you have, we said it last week, with the leaves down and the roots up, right? So you got leaves down, roots up, and then roots across, forming a bridge between these two rocky cliffs. It looks an awful lot like a cross to me. And so I asked my carpenter friend, Don. Jesus was a carpenter. This guy's name is Don. I said, Don, can you make me something that I can overlay? And I had trouble finding the nail hole in the first service, and I'm going to get there. Come on, cheer me on. Come on, come on. Looky there, looky there. Heck yeah. It's a bit like the power team. I just broke a stack of bricks. Whoa. Isn't it interesting? Anybody thought of that before today? How that picture kind of, do you see it? Or am I the only one? Am I weird? Yes, I'm weird. But do you see the picture? It's like interesting that the tree and the cross and the scripture and yeah, it kind of all came together for me. We know that the tree was planted upside down in the story because people had fallen off these two rocky cliffs. Two cliffs that seldom, if ever, touch. And people falling to the bottom of this pit, I picture it like the Grand Canyon, right? It's like people down at the bottom and there's no way they could get out. So God, in his wisdom, takes the tree, plants it upside down. That's the reason it's upside down. It's for the purpose of reaching the people at the bottom, because the leaves of this tree and the fruit of this tree reach the people trapped at the bottom, give them sustenance and a way of escape. Okay, come on, if you can't preach that, the only way out of our trap, our pit, our human condition is divine intervention. That's it. It's the only way out. And God is using us in his rescue team to reach those that are trapped at the bottom and to provide a way out through his cross. These roots extend upward so that they don't draw their nourishment from earth, because as good as it all is here, ain't nobody able to save themselves. There is no hope of eternity. There's no identity to be found drawing it from earth. You've got to draw your identity from the one who made you. Your Father in heaven is the only one who has the ability to call you by your true name, to give you the identity as a son or a daughter of God. Roots have to go up into heaven and draw their nourishment from above, not below. So in a real way, this tree connects heaven and earth. But don't forget about the patibulum. Don't forget about the horizontal, not the patella, the patibulum that connects these two rocky cliffs. You know, in the vision, this story was actually a vision someone had about our ministry, why God would put us in this unusual place and the unusual position that we're here in to reach people that are trapped. And I kind of like it. I think it kind of works. And we have the opportunity to reach across divisions and social strata and cultures that seldom, if ever, touch. You know, I think that's the destiny of our church, of what we're called to do. To reach across this chasm and connect the two sides. And I'm sure you've heard the cross described like that, as a bridge that bridges the chasm between us and God. There's a separation because of sin that only the cross could bridge. That's exactly the picture that we're looking at in this upside down cross. Jesus died to reconcile man to God. And now we, 2 Corinthians says, we have the ministry of reconciliation. Now you're on a mission to reconcile. You know, how many of you understand and believe that this world is a divided world we live in right now, culturally? I mean, every which way you can imagine. There's people in here right now that would just, you know, fight a fight over who they voted for president. We're so divided politically, culturally, socially, economically, spiritually. Jesus said, I can't have that. He came to reconcile. And I think that picture is so profoundly important for us. Just want to read what I wrote in my notes, and it's probably going to make you mad. I wrote, you can care passionately about a cause, but if that cause causes you to dishonor others in the process, God is not with you in your cause. That's just like flame-throwing, right? See, this world we live in is so divided, and the enemy's job is to steal, kill, and destroy, and he's doing a really good job of it, to get to the object of God's love. Who is the object of God's love? Yeah, turn to your neighbor and say, it's you. You're it. You're the object of God's love. Bill Johnson says it like this, Pastor Bill. He says, God will defend those you oppose because of your misuse of your authority as a believer, attacking those you're supposed to be praying for. See, I mean, we're all looking at our own condition saying, listen, it's wonderful that Jesus has reached down to us, but guess what we're to do now? We take that ministry of reconciliation outward. We become the bridge between heaven and earth, and we take the message of reconciliation everywhere that we go, or we're supposed to. But the enemy's done such a good job of dividing us. Just this week, we lost 4 young men in a tragic accident. I was in Kansas City when I got the news. And yes, I know that they were reportedly driving a stolen vehicle. I know that. Does that take away the tragedy of 4 young men whose lives were lost, whose families are mourning them today and will be buried this week? Just the shock of that, you know, the blast is still affecting me. There's a lady and a pastor friend of ours, Robert and Kim Warren. They pastor Word of Faith, a family worship center at 20th and, or it's 18th and Massaney. And they have a youth center, Mid-City Excellence Youth Center. And they work their tails off to love on and reach these kids. Kim sent me a message on Facebook as soon as it happened. And I wanted you to see this picture because there's Kim in the middle of her precious charges. And this is Carlo seated to the right of Kim on his knees, one of the young men who was killed this week. Kim wrote, this is so hard. This was a brilliant young man. Actually, all 4 teens, 15 to 17, had a destiny and great potential. What can we do as a community to avoid another tragedy? We spent years pouring into these youth. We cannot do this alone. Please pray for the 2 teens still fighting for their lives. I am not ready to give up the center or my faith in God or humanity. It is hard to prepare for what's ahead. All families are connected, and I'm not willing to give up, but I am frustrated. I'm tired, and I will keep fighting for the lives of the youth that are without hope. There are more details of Carlo's story that Kim shared with me that I don't feel liberty to divulge, but it would paint a picture and help you understand the situation this young man came from. So perhaps you would have a little more compassion on why he made some of the choices he did that led to the decision that led to the tragedy. Kim wrote, someone must be on the journey with these kids. And that takes a personal sacrifice of time, prayer, energy, and resources. I just left 2 young men who could have been in that car, and there are 100 more that I couldn't even get to. I wanted you to see this, because we see news headlines and we talk about things and we have opinions, and I've already read them on Facebook, and there are just so much garbage that totally are devoid of the heart of God. So if I talked about the cross and the tomb, which is normal on Easter, that'd all be great, and we'd have donuts and we'd go eat ham, right? I'm just telling you, if you'll let this, just let it in just a moment. These 4 young men who had destinies
God created them. He knew their name. We got ripped off. And God so loved the world that he gave his son as a rescue for those trapped, those who've fallen off the cliffs of cultures that never touch, so that we could be used of him to reach down to those who will die separated from God unless we go. And that's what Kim's talking about. I love those guys. They have labored for years, and it's tiring. Krista and I have done our best to love on them, and I've gotten them sent away to hotels so they can have a little break from it from time to time. It's just like, oh my gosh, the need is overwhelming. But I'll tell you what, we cannot give up. We cannot fail to be messengers of this hope, because that's what the cross represents, the bridge that connects these two sides that seldom touch but are in desperate need of someone on God's rescue team. I loved it today, Chanel. I didn't know what you guys were singing today for worship. And when you sang, "Our Champion, You Fight for Us," I said, see, that's exactly what Jesus did. He went to battle. He went to war to fight for us. God was willing to fight for you to go to war. You know, last week I talked about the tree upside down. That's only if you're standing on earth, right? It's only upside down if you're standing on earth. What's it look like from heaven? Looks great to me. Mm-hmm, perfect. Good job. Because heaven's priority is to reach those that are trapped. So what does the cross look like from heaven? See, we're always used to seeing it this way, right? From heaven looking down. See, I'm weird. Don't say amen. I have this strange imagination. When I thought about what the cross would look like upside down, I said, it kind of looks like a sword to me. You know, like a little boy's sword, you know, with the handle and the hilt and the sharp part. And, you know, I just thought, that's kind of what it looks like to me. It looks like a sword. From heaven's perspective, the cross was signifying, I'm ready to go to battle for you. Fontella, I'm going to fight for you. That's what God was saying. You were trapped. You were captive. And I'm not going to let that happen. Gentlemen, how many of you who have daughters, if your daughter got into a situation you had to go to battle for her, would you not do whatever you had to do? I'd become all William Wallace on you. Wah! Kilt and all, right? I would do it to rescue my girl. God says, I'll do whatever it takes. I'll go to war. I'll fight for you. I'm your champion. Nothing's going to stand in my way. No price is too great to pay to rescue you. You realize every one of us were trapped or held hostage in the enemy's camp. And he went to battle for you. Aren't you glad? He fought for you, taking your sin on himself, bearing the penalty, and then rising again to prove that there is no demon in hell that can hold you back when you belong to him. Come on now. That's what water baptism symbolizes, right? It's like we identify with the burial, the death and burial of Jesus, him taking our sin upon himself and then rising again on the third day, showing new life is now ours. See, at Restoration, we water baptize by immersion. You'll learn that during Growth Track. And we hold you under a good long time till we're sure. Now, we'll take you back up. In fact, we're doing that. May 28th, we're having our next water baptism. If you've never been water baptized, I would highly encourage you to think about it, to identify with what Jesus has done for you. It's a great opportunity. Let me ask you, are you willing to go to battle to help rescue those that are trapped at the bottom of the pit and have no way out? Jesus did it for you. Are you willing to join his rescue team? That's really what this is about. I'm glad y'all come to church, and I'm glad you enjoy coming and sitting and hearing the awesome music, putting up with the pastor. But I'm telling you, there's more that we're called to do as a part of God's rescue team. Our fight isn't with people, okay? Ephesians 6 says, we battle forces unseen. It's an amazing adventure that we've been called out to join our champion and to fight for those who cannot fight for themselves. He battles constantly with the one who came to steal, kill, and destroy. And he is a defeated foe. But guess what? We have to enact the victory Jesus won on the cross. We have to take that victory now and plug it into the lives of the people who don't yet know what that means for them. They think there is no hope. They're trapped. There's no way out for them. And only through the cross can they be set free. He battles for you and me. And we've got to learn how to fight with him, alongside him, in his armor, in his strength. You can't do it alone. You'll get your lunch handed to you on a silver platter. You need the power that raised Jesus from the dead dwelling in you. We're going to teach you how to fight. May 5th and 6th, there's a prayer seminar coming. Pastors Ray and Rochelle Garcia from Lawton, Oklahoma. Francine is putting it on. We're hosting it. But I encourage you to come and learn how to fight the spiritual battle. I have to war constantly against my own complacency, my own temptation to just say, oh, that's just kind of how it is. You know what? Jesus didn't take that position with us. Well, that's just how it is. They're just lost. Bottom of the pit. Sucks for them. Come on now. He went to battle for us on our behalf. This entire message today, I could have gone a whole different direction and you talked about the cross and the tomb, and it had all been great, and you'd feel good, and you'd learn some truth. But if we don't activate the truth that the cross and the tomb represent, and then take that message, that's what he told us to do, right? After he rose again, what did he do? He told his disciples, now you take this message, and you take it to the ends of the earth, and you tell everyone, and you baptize them, like we're going to do with the 28th, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And you teach them all I've commanded you to do, which is what Randy's going to do starting Wednesday night for the next 4 Wednesdays, teaching people how to walk, how to live out this victory that he's won. That's what we're supposed to be about. It's not about having church. It's about being church. It's about doing church. Rescue team is what God's forming. That's why we're going. We're taking 9 people to the Dominican Republic next month. It'll be my 6th trip. It is hotter than you know what. I sweat like a pig. I sweat like 2 pigs. But I love it. Because we go down there, and you know what? It's not because we have something in of ourselves to give away. It's that we're just loving people as Jesus would have us love them. And we go and we walk the streets of the poorest neighborhoods you've ever not seen. Right? Unless you've been to a third world country, you've never seen it like this. And we go to the refugee camps where they literally have nothing. Ruby's been. She went when she was 9 the first time. She played Barbies. That was her ministry. Barbies. Okay? We go to the hospitals. And we love on people who go to the hospital not to get well, but to die. Because the health care there is so poor. It's just where they go to die. Our worship team is going to be rocking an outdoor concert that last time drew over 1,000 people just because they've got a great gift and talent that people like to hear. And then I just get up and share my story, growing up without a dad and how I lacked identity, didn't know who I was, and I looked for love in all the wrong places and looking for people to affirm me when only my Father in heaven can do that. Are you hearing me? You just minister out of who you are. God uses you to love people trapped at the bottom of that pit. You have to be anybody special, but you are special because you were worth fighting for. And we tell them the same thing. You are worth fighting for. Doesn't matter that we don't speak the same language. Doesn't matter that our skin is different colors and that I'm sweating like 2 pigs. They don't care. What they care about is that they got some hope. And the hope doesn't come from me. It comes from the one who fought for them. I've got to tell you that these 9 people going are depending on you, that you have our backs, that you're praying, that you're giving of your resources to send us, because all of us are doing this on faith. Creatively ways to raise funds. Cody is having a dance workshop next Saturday, right? Is that correct? Girls 3 to 18, it's $15. Been doing my math, right? Is that right? Is that $15? So if you are a little girl and you want to dance, if you're not a little girl, we don't want you to dance, but we want you to tell people, to bring people. And by the way, Cody and Andrew, up. Freshly engaged right here. Andrew's a professional fisherman, and he caught the best catch of his life right there. All right, you can sit down. Another fun way we raised money was we had a garage sale for Will. Where's Will? Will is my son who I'm well pleased in, my second son. And he was the drummer today, by the way, if you haven't met him. And he's been 4 times to the DR. And interned there one summer, and he wants to go back, so he's got to raise some money. So we had a garage sale for him last weekend. And how many of you know garage sales are a pain in the backside? They just are. But God can use garage sales. And so in our garage, we had pictures of all the kids that we minister to, the Bread of Life kids who we get to feed. The platter of food I hand them is the only meal they'll get that day. And they wouldn't even have that if it weren't for the Bread of Life. That's why we go. Pictures of that. Krista holding these little babies that she doesn't want to let go of, and she tries to stuff in her suitcase and bring them home, but they won't let her do that. And just all these pictures. And a friend of mine from college, we were fraternity buddies, right? And he just happened to be driving through the neighborhood, saw the garage sale signs, stopped at our garage sale. He's like, I don't know, you guys are having a garage sale. I'm like, yep. And he saw the signs. What's that about? So I began to describe the mission. I got to tell a lot of people about the mission that those 2 days, and got a lot of sore. My feet were really sore by the end of it, and you know, you're just kind of ready for it to be over. But after it was over, I got a message from this friend of mine. He said, "Hey, can people outside your church go on that trip?" I said, "Heck yeah, they can." So I kind of been thinking ever since you told me about it, and I saw those pictures. Maybe I'd want to go. And I said, "Come on." So you go talk to your wife, you pray, and 2 days later, he shows up with the check. He says, I'm going to the Dominican Republic with y'all. And he said, yeah, it's good. He said, I don't know what I'm going to do there. I said, I know what you're going to do. You're going to play with those little boys. They wear me out. All those little boys want somebody to play with. They call me abuelo, right? I'm grandpa. So we need some men that can mix it up with these guys. And he said, well, I had this dream that I went to the South Belt Walmart, and I asked the manager if I could have some balls, and he gave me all these balls, and I just pumped them up there at the orphanage and was handing out balls. I said, there's your ministry right there. That's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to bring balls, pump them up, and give them to the kids and keep them off me, right? That's how you do it. That's your ministry. You just do what you know to do. That's all God asks of you. To just be who you're called to be. I tell you, I just want to testify that God is doing some really crazy things with people who are willing to be used. Krista and I got a chance, we were blessed to go to the House of David on Monday and celebrate Passover with Rabbi Kurt. And you all know that our Christian faith has Jewish roots. You know that, right? We believe in the Jewish Messiah. That you know, if you don't understand that, then we need to talk. So we go down to see the Passover, and of course, to see Jesus in the Passover is pretty cool. Anybody ever been to a Passover, a Messianic Passover? We're going to do one right here in this place, and Rabbi Kurt's coming, so it's going to be really awesome sometime. But there we were, you know, at House of David, and with all of our 500 friends sitting at a table, there were 15,000 online watching this. And it was crazy. But what really was impressive to me was here we are, connected to Rabbi Kurt, who's just an amazing guy. And then Roy and Honey Wolftail, our friends from the Blackfeet Reservation up in Montana, were there. So we got to see them and you know, love on their family. And then there's Kamal Salim, my former Muslim friend, who's now helping churches understand that we're called to rescue the sons of Ishmael. Are you hearing me, church? I mean, God just opening our eyes to opportunities, and he's connecting us to these people. Joanne Swallow was there, the wife of Apostle Jay, who was the first man to pray in this building, who told us that people would come from all over the country here to learn how to transform their cities. And I just dropped to my knees and said, oh, Jesus, that's bigger than us, you know? And he knows that. All he needs is people who are willing to obey and say, okay, whatever you want to do, here we are. Joanne will be here at the prayer seminar, by the way, May 5th and 6th. You want to be sure to see her. And then there was this gentleman there that I'd never met. I'd heard the story Rabbi told of Bishop Paul Noir. I'm not sure how you say his last name, N-Y-A. And never met him, heard the story of how Rabbi went and taught, and, you know, things are really changing in Togo, West Africa. Never heard of Togo before that. And so there's Bishop and Rabbi. And so the next morning we're having breakfast. Zach and him got to go with us, and we're at the breakfast table at the hotel. And who walks by but Bishop Paul? And so I just kind of said, hey, Bishop, good to see you. And man, enjoyed last night. And so awesome to see what God's doing in Togo. And he was very kind and said, yes, let's connect. And so I found him on Facebook and we connected. And I told him just a little bit about what we were doing, our connection with Rabbi, and the fact that we're taking this fathering seminar to the Dominican Republic next month, and we're taking the fathering seminar to Browning, Montana next month, and, you know, in June. And he just goes, he wrote me this message, and I just put it in my notes. I've got to read it the way he said it, and I wish I had his accent, right? He's Togo, West African, so French is his native language. He said, bless the Lord, I can't believe this topic of the reality of fathers, and fathers' blessings is what our people in Togo need. The French-speaking West African countries lack this. I am sure and persuaded that our meeting is of God. Please check your calendar and let me know when you will be free to come to Togo. It's like, what? Are you kidding me? It's like, and Krista at dinner time on our little name tags, she had turned it over and wrote Togo, West Africa. And she showed it to me later. She said, I think I'm supposed to go too. So I guess we're going to Togo sometime whenever God does that. But you know what's really crazy to me is last fall I was teaching at a seminar in Kansas City. And there was a pastor there from South Africa. And he came up to me and said, can I tell you what I saw while you were teaching? Because I was teaching about the Father's blessing and helping men become better dads. He said, I saw the flags of the nations all around you. You're supposed to take this message to the nations. And my friend Kamal Salim said the same thing to me. So I'm just thinking, God, what are you doing? I mean, it's not about me. It's about this upside down tree that God has planted in an unusual place, in an unusual position. It's all about the chance to take this message of the resurrection, this Easter message, and let people know that there's hope. And you just go wherever he sends you. And it's probably going to be to that grumpy neighbor of yours, or to the person that shares your cubicle at work, or to your student there in your school. And you don't have to do anything but be you. Just be you. God will use you wherever you're at. It's about celebrating every day that we live on this planet, the resurrection of Jesus. And then not only receiving the benefit of that, but to be his bridge of extension to reach out to people who need it. See, that's why we do this. That's exactly why. And I'm glad y'all like it. I'm really glad you came today. Hope I get a chance to meet you if you haven't been here before. I want to say hey to you as we leave. But before I let you go, on this third anniversary of our church plant, I think we're just beginning to see what God's about to do. It's all about bringing hope to people who need it. He's put us in this unusual place, in an unusual position, and I think the best is yet to come.
Thank you so much for listening today. To connect with or support the vision of this pioneering work in historic downtown St. Joseph, visit restorationstj.com, or better yet, come see us in person this Sunday at 9 and 10:45 a.m. We hope to see you soon.